Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here in this tight suit.
Let's get it.
Along with Emmanuel Acho looking clean over there.
Another tight suit.
Airbone, big dog.
My guy.
I hope y'all safe at home from these buttons that may pop off in one of these segments. Let's get started right now with Cam Newton, who's been back in the news this week after agreeing to a one-year deal with the Patriots, where he will replace the GOAT Tom Brady under center. A lot of people were surprised to learn Cam's deal has only about $500,000 in guaranteed money. But Cam says he's not chasing money. Posting on Instagram, quote, "It's not a lot of things money cannot buy. But amongst the top of that list of things you would find, respect as one of those. This is not about money for me. It's about respect." Acho, does Cam really need to earn back respect?
Cam absolutely needs to earn back his respect, Marcellus. But let me tell you why. Okay. In the NFL, my brother, respect and money, they're synonymous.
Oh, you ain't lying.
So if you don't have the big-time contract, you don't have respect. You mentioned something yesterday I want to elaborate on. I love when we can have intellectual conversations.
Let's do it.
Right? I like to read. I read books. Okay. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. And
yes.
The five are quality of time, acts of service, gifts, physical touch, and words of affirmation. Those are the five. Mm. But in the NFL, the biggest love language is money. It's that moolah. Cam, if they don't pay you, they don't love you. And if they don't love you, they don't respect you. And so Cam has to earn back his respect because his respect has been lost, and we have to look no further than his paycheck. Think about the fact of, out of the 32 teams in the league, only one wanted Cam in the manner in which he wanted to be wanted, which was to be able to compete as a starter. Only one! Huh. The other fact is, Marcellus, when we talk about Cam, we all have to preface with the same phrase.
If Cam stays healthy.
Exactly.
Like you're not allowed to state a sentence about Cam Newton unless you start with if Cam stays healthy.
Yeah.
But he has to earn back physical respect, and he has to earn back the respect based around his ability.
Man, proud of a single man reading the five love languages.
You trying to get a head start on this one, huh?
Physical touch is mine. No, just letting you know. Let's be real about this. Cam does not have to earn back respect. Cam is right now showing me his consolation mindset.
Okay.
And Cam, what got you there is going to get you there in terms of your aspirations and your greatness. Use the same engine that you needed to get up the hill that you need to get back to your greatness. Don't all of a sudden change this mindset and say, now it's all about respect. But let me tell you why. One thing about respect is it's fleeting. Respect is based on others' opinions. And when you make it about respect, it has to come to you without you seeking it. Because now you're out of priority. You have to always keep your focus inner in terms of your self-power.
Okay.
It's about your transmission, not their reception. But Cam sounds like them backpack rappers, you know, walking around talking about, man, I'm doing it for the culture, you know what I'm saying? It's all about respect, son. And it's funny, the Lox came out with the album and the song Money, Power, Respect. You know why respect was last?
Talk to me.
Because it's the last thing you should be worrying about. Damn it, it's the money and the power. So Cam right now ain't got the money. Cam is making the same amount of money as Colt McCoy, Blaine Gabbert, and Geno Smith. And less money than Nathan Peterman, Matt Barkley, Nate Sudfeld, Chad Henne, and Chase Daniel. So he already said I got kicked out of the money conversation. Mm-hmm. What about the power? I got the power. Money, power, respect. I ain't got no power. They talking about I got to compete with Jared. Sorry. Stidham, like, he's thrown four passes in the NFL, and I got to compete with him. I'm a former MVP. So what's left? Oh, yeah, respect. Oh, you know what? Yo, son, I'm a backpack quarterback, B. I'm doing it for the respect. I'm doing it for the culture, the Brady Patriot culture. Miss me with that, bruh. The same Cam that went to the top of that mountain as an MVP needs to be the same Cam in this
But one. Then what, let me ask you this then, man, not to pivot too far, but then what does Cam have to earn back? Because if it's not respect, Cam has to fight for something. Would you say pride?
No, I would say it's not about earning anything. It's about giving. It's about taking.
Okay.
When you get into the league, you were there. Did you have to earn their respect? You could say yes, but how did you get it? You went and took it.
Yep.
Like, ain't nobody, they don't even have to like you in the NFL. You take their respect. And I think right now saying, I have to earn their respect. Once again, it seems like he's having this out-of-body mind experience where how are they going to view me as Cam Newton versus I'm going to be Cam Newton. The S is on my chest. Mm-hmm. I'm dabbing, I'm scoring, and I'm going to be an MVP again. I need to hear that kind of confidence.
My problem is that you can have fake confidence to a point, right? You can fake it till you make it to a point.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you talk about Cam, what do we talk about right now? 0-8 in his last 8 games as a starter.
If hurt. You can,
hurt.
Sure, sure.
But he was hurt. I'm not going to knock Cam.
Don't
but
do that.
That's what it says.
Okay.
That's why I'm just reading the sheet. I'm just reading the paper. Okay? Right. If you anything that can be earned can be lost.
Mm.
Whether that's money,
okay,
whatever the case may be, anything that can be earned can be lost. Mm. And so Cam earned respect 2015. NFL MVP. Cam earned respect being a first-round number one overall pick, had to live up to the hype. But if you can earn it, you can lose it. Mm. And he has since lost it. And we've seen that by him being 0-8 in his last 8 games as a starter, though hurt.
Yeah.
Understand hurt. We've seen that. And so in the event that it has now been lost, he got to go back and earn it. Because you say take it, but you can't take something necessarily that – you can take something that
there you don't come back here for. We did it. Let's act like it's about them first.
You can take something that somebody don't want to give you.
Uh-huh.
But you
all
can't,
the time.
You can't take something that don't exist. And if Cam's respect doesn't exist, he can't take it.
Way to speak for yourself right there. Here's the thing about it. His ambition. Look, it's just one post. And I know Cam is really fully confident in himself. But that post just suggests that the ambition is just a little low. It's a little more of an incorporation of reception.
Yep.
People are thinking of him for my liking. I don't like to hear that. But Cam needs a moment of clarity like Jay-Z had that song, Moment of Clarity, Black Album. What did Jay-Z say?
What did he say?
Truthfully, I want to rhyme like common sense, but I did 5 mil. I ain't been rhyming like common sense. You need to stick to your bar.
That's a bar.
It ain't about the respect. It ain't about the culture. Do you, Cam? Let's move to a quarterback who definitely cares about money right now, and that's Dak Prescott, who recently signed a franchise tender worth about $31 million this season, but is still looking for that long-term deal from Jerry Jones. The team has until July 15th to figure it out, or they'll have to go through this again next offseason. Reportedly, the main sticking point is that Jerry wants Dak to sign for 5 years. Dak wants a 4-year deal. So, Acho, what do you think? Jerry believes in Dak long term?
He doesn't. He doesn't. He does
Jerry,
not.
Jerry.
Man, people, y'all gonna listen to, here's the problem, bro. People are like, well, he wants to sign him to a long term deal, therefore he wants him long term. That's not the case necessarily. Jerry doesn't have contract disputes like this with
lying.
A quarterback in a power position if he believes in you long term.
Well,
what you mean, Nacho? What you talking about? 2016. Tony Romo relegated to being a backup quarterback, yet he is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper.
Deep.
I looked at Tony Romo's stats, and then I looked at Dak Prescott's stats. Tony Romo, in 2013, he signs the biggest contract in NFL history. He signs $55 million guaranteed. You look at Tony Romo prior to that point. 64% completion percentage, 59% winning percentage. You look at Dak Prescott, now up for his big deal. Higher completion percentage is 66%. Higher winning percentage is 63%.
Ooh,
so while Tony Romo didn't have to beg and plead for the money, Dak Prescott got to beg and plead for the money. Why? Because Jerry believed in Tony long term. Dak Prescott, I ain't convinced.
Ooh. Look, I don't think that Jerry is sitting there appreciating fully what he has in Dak Prescott.
He's not.
And it's not even an indictment on Dak. Jerry is a prisoner of his own success.
Mm-hmm.
And people get into that position. They climb the mountain of success, become famous, become rich, whatever. And all of a sudden, they become recluse. Like, they stay in the house all the time. I got to have an entourage around me. Like, you just can't be the same person in that moment. And I'll tell you why he's a prisoner of his own success. Was he by the team in 1989? By the time he blinks, 1996, he already won 3 Super Bowls.
Three chips.
And he's sitting there like popping champagne every other year, and he's like, this is how it goes. And then all of a sudden, he wants to chase that high after 96. And he's went through some players, some good, some bad, and some sorry like me. He paying guys, just here you go, I'm trying. And then he gets to a situation where he thinks he has his franchise quarterback again in Tony Romo. Now, I was there when Tony Romo was a fourth string backup, probably not going to make the team, but because of injuries, he stays around and boom, he's Tony Romo. And he invests in Tony Romo, trying to chase that high once again. Ah, I'm going to get it again. And he didn't get it again. And then here comes Dak, off of a team that went 4-12.
Talk about it.
He takes them their rookie year.
Talk about
13-3. And now he's starting to say, oh, I got this dude on the cheap. Maybe I could ride the wave a little different to the same place. And he locked himself in, a prisoner of his own success from before, and looking at Dak like, you're going to be my savior on the cheap. Look at the guys that he's paid since Dak has been there.
Please.
Since
please,
Dak has been
please.
There. DeMarcus Lawrence got 105. Mm. Cooper got, Amari Cooper, 100 million. Ezekiel got 90. Zach Martin, 84. Jalen Smith, 68. Travis Frederick, 56. Lyle Collins, 50. And Dak's not on that list. It's Jerry Jones looking at Dak Prescott like the good girl in high school. We all slept on her.
Uh-oh.
We all slept on her until you got older and you started to realize what really you should value, what attributes you should be looking for. Right now, Jerry's just lost in his own sauce, chasing what yesteryear brought him, and he's not fully appreciating what he has right now.
Bro, this is how I truly knew that Jerry's not committed to Dak long term. I was thinking about it in the dressing room, getting ready for the show.
Sharp.
Going through my notes. I said, wait a second.
Bro.
Jerry Jones paid Jason Witten, 65-year-old Jason Witten,
don't do this,
to come out of retirement where he was living a good life wearing suits like you and I in a football booth calling games, and he gave Jason Witten 4.2. Now, I'm not one to count another man's pockets. I'm not. I'm worried about mine, okay? And it's not enough in mine, and I'm worried about those. So I'm not going to count another man's pockets, but here's what I do know. There was no contract dispute when Jason Witten came out the booth. Jerry was like, oh, Jason Witten, you want to come back and play even in your ancient days? Sure, come on. I'm going to pay you a little something, something. There was no dispute.
Mm.
Dak Prescott, franchise quarterback, kept his nose clean, has done everything right. Top five winning percentage since he's been in the league.
Preach.
Top five in just about every statistical category since he's been in the league. You have to pay him if you believe in him. So, Jerry, what you being stingy for?
I can tell you why he's being stingy. And look, I am a huge Dak supporter, but I'm just going to talk from Jerry's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, damn, Dak, you're good, but good ain't great enough. And you know why? Because he had the taste of greatness. Whatever you think of Troy Aikman, some people try to marginalize him. He's amazing to me, and he got those three rings. But some people are like, yo, do you live up to Troy Aikman?
Mm-hmm.
Do you live up to being one of the three amigos in that offense if you're Dak Prescott? Because he paid everything else. He paid two of the amigos.
Mm-hmm.
He paid Ezekiel. He paid Amari Cooper. But Dak sits there on the outside. And it's an interesting mental dynamic. Like I was telling you about the girl in high school, I used to tell all my homegirls, hey, don't miss the boat waiting on a yacht. And a lot of times...
Gotta preach.
A lot of times you get caught up because you had that feeling. Your toes were curling at one time. And now you're like chasing one thing and one thing only. And whatever Troy Aikman was and Tony Romo was in terms of talent, in terms of accomplishment, he doesn't see that fully in Dak Prescott, which to me is unfortunate because I think Dak Prescott has that in him. But there's something about his game that doesn't electrify Jerry's imagination, doesn't make him say, let me add him to the list of all the guys I've given $100+ million to. And that's going to be probably to the detriment of the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up, Lamar Jackson may be the MVP, but even he feels like he's got a lot more to prove. We get into that next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
To Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. We just getting started. But let's move now to Lamar Jackson, who may be coming off a record-setting MVP season, but he isn't showing any signs of complacency. Lamar just told Sports Illustrated that the only stat he cares about is his 0-2 playoff record. And that, quote, I need to win a playoff game before anything. We're joined now by my guy, NFL analyst, linebacker extraordinaire, LeVar Arrington.
Number two pick.
But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you, big bro.
That's right.
Does Lamar need to win a playoff game to validate his success so far?
He does. And you know I love me some Lamar Jackson, but still, facts are facts. Mm. It's time to get over that hump. And you got to understand how the game of football comes at you. It's so difficult to just get on the field, as I discuss all the time. It's so difficult to make plays when you're on the field. But then to have the level of success he's had in such a short career, to become an NFL MVP, and there's still criticism. And that criticism is not so much individually as the collective. It lands on every player's resume. Did you win? Did you win the Super Bowl? Every time I go speak to little kids at elementary school, did you ever win a Super Bowl? I almost want to walk out every time. Like, I have other things to talk about. But the point of it is, that lands on me, a former defensive end. It lands on the lap of every single quarterback, especially one as great as Lamar Jackson. So we all know the saying that once is chance, twice is coincidence, third time is pattern. Mm. Hey, you're in your third year. Mess around. Imagine everyone. Close your eyes. Focus. They go 12-4. All right. He's still MVP candidate, doesn't win. Okay. Gets into the playoffs. Okay. And what happens? One and done. They lose again. Mm. That pattern, it's locked in on him. Ooh. And I don't want that perception to be reality with Lamar Jackson. He needs it.
To whom much is given, much is required. I know, Acho, you will appreciate that verse right there, my young man. Listen, yes, there is some validity to him validating his career so far by getting playoff wins. And I'll tell you, I'll raise the stakes a little bit more. Mm. Please do. It actually validates all of the quarterbacks who have had the same game as Lamar Jackson that came before him. I will raise the stakes a little bit more. It actually validates continuing to actually believe that you should go down this line of thinking and considering who you want your quarterback to be moving into the future. So that validation card is very large for Lamar Jackson going into this third year. And listen, Peyton Manning lost some playoff games. I believe he was 0-3 at one point in his career as well in his playoff career. But the one thing that Peyton Manning doesn't have to concern himself with is the stigma, right? The stigma of the running quarterback. Mike Vick was good enough to be an elite football player in the National Football League, but was not good enough to win a championship. There have been the McNairs. There have been the McNabs. There have been so many quarterbacks, the Randall Cunninghams, and I'm using a whole bunch of, black quarterbacks as my example. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Not to play the race card, there are quarterbacks like Tim Tebow that was not respected because of their ability to run versus being pocket passing quarterbacks. Mm. So while others will have the same amount of leeway to have success and failure in what it is that they do, someone who is continuing to transcend what the norms have been, what the establishment says, this is how you're supposed to do it. Mm. He has to win for those reasons, because those reasons alone, the stakes are truly high for him to validate what he's doing.
I'm going to start by saying I would rather have 8 great years of Lamar Jackson than 15 years of Matthew Stafford. That's just me. Okay. I would rather your highs be higher. I am not the kind of guy that needs your 6'5" traditional pocket passing quarterback. Again, that's just me. I'm a new age kind of cat. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, you have to understand your strengths and your weaknesses. And I understand with Lamar Jackson, just anatomically, his style of play, it has a shorter window of success. It got a smaller window of success, meaning if he is going to have a smaller window of success based on his style of play, which I love, he has to have success sooner. Now, let's put everything in check. Lamar Jackson is younger, last time I checked, than the number one overall pick in this previous draft class in Joe Burrow. Mm. So it's not as if Lamar Jackson is older getting up there. That's not the case. But I played with Michael Vick his last couple years in the league. I played with Michael Vick on the Eagles back in 2014. And I saw it was a different Mike Vick than it was in his earlier stages. Now, Mike Vick, he progressed as a pocket passer, but everybody knows how lethal Mike Vick was because just how dangerous he was with his feet. Lamar Jackson has already progressed from year one to year two as a pocket passer. We all know that. He will continue to progress. But what makes Lamar Jackson an NFL MVP is that he can kill you with his arms and with his legs. So I need Lamar Jackson to get him one. The Ravens need Lamar Jackson to get him one early, because you know sooner or later, you get too much tread on them tires, you got to take it to the shop.
Interesting. He is in for it. I mean, one, he's trying to pioneer almost this style of play to the tune of a championship. Of all the names that you listed, you left one out.
Okay.
And I got to be real. All quarterbacks matter. I got to talk about it. Steve Young was the one who went out there. And remember in the Super Bowl, we saw a video of Steve Young out there, and his words were, "Get this monkey off my back." And this monkey's off my back, gone forever. Think about that. That's Steve Young, who was a mobile quarterback, probably a little compromised in some people's eyes because they said, oh, he can move, and not giving him full respect for him being able to throw the football. Obviously, he proved people wrong, but it's too few and far between in terms of mobile quarterbacks getting to the top of that mountain. So you got to make the greater good. You have to make the collective become greater than they were if you're Lamar Jackson. And that's where he finds himself. He finds himself in a position where he's like, I want to make sure I still can have joy in my success. A lot of champions, I'm not a champion, so a lot of champions got to tell me this, that they say there's only two ways to win a championship. Either you win it and it's a joy, or you win it and it's a relief because the pressure has been on your head for so long. This is the last year that if he doesn't go out there and win it, it could be of joy. After this year, it's just going to be a relief, and I do not want that on Lamar Jackson's head.
You know what it makes me think about, Marcelo Zanacho? It makes me think about what is the validation being based on, right? Like, when we say validation in its true sense of the word and the form validation, what is it? Because things that Lamar has already accomplished, some people have not accomplished in their entire career. And that's interesting because the first thing that comes to mind is there are first ballot Hall of Famers, I won't say no names, Drew Brees, that have never even been an NFL MVP.
Ooh.
There are guys that have won Super Bowls. I won't say no names. Russell Wilson. That have not been NFL MVPs,
ooh,
right? So when we're talking about validation,
yes,
talk that talk.
I look at Lamar and I say, again, I'll double down on my original point for the simple fact that there are so many things at play and at stake for what Lamar Jackson is playing for, that even him having a career that in some ways exceeds guys that have been playing this game for so long, he still has to get to that final place and really, really put that flame on that Olympic torch deal and light the whole thing up. Mm. Otherwise, there will still be opportunities to poke holes in the style in which he plays. Love Steve Young, and I get that, but if you look at that type of team that Steve Young was on, Marcellus, I'm sorry, you could have been the quarterback on that team and got the monkey up
here
off
you
of your
go.
Back.
You
so
go.
With that
you
being said, I just think there's a lot to be said for what Lamar Jackson has to do, and it's beyond just the accolades.
Yo, this is what I love about this show, because we get to keep it real.
Yeah.
Like, Marcellus, we just rotate between who going to keep it real. And right now, the ball has passed to me.
Okay.
And so I'm going to keep it real.
Keep it real, Macho.
Lamar, you've been speaking some truth, bruh. You've been speaking some truth. Thank Here's you. What it comes down to. Everybody wanted Lamar Jackson to fail. Even as recently as last year, you have NFL analysts, you have college football analysts saying that Lamar Jackson is a receiver. You got guys that are still mad that Lamar Jackson didn't go to the combine and run his 40 time because they wanted to make Lamar a receiver. And Lamar said, nah, I ain't with all that. I'm a quarterback. And he not only was a quarterback, he was the best quarterback in the National Football League. So people are looking to knock Lamar Jackson off. But sometimes in some situations, you got to be twice as good to be equal. Lamar has already proven he's better by being the MVP. But in order for him to incubate himself from any sort of criticism,
yes,
Lamar Jackson is going to
yes.
have to win
yes.
a chip, but he's also going to have to win a playoff game. Not saying that the playing field is fair, but Lamar Jackson has never been on a playing field that has been fair, and he's still overcome all the odds. So since y'all wanted to keep it real.
I see.
I just had to keep it real.
Well, can I get a little of that real juice?
Please,
because
please.
I got to just shoot one thing at you, LeVar Arrington. Don't you ever, as a former athlete, say anybody could just be interchangeable and it doesn't matter who they are. Because Steve Young went out there in the Super Bowl and threw 6 touchdowns, which is still an NFL record. So who else has done that, LeVar?
I did say that about Marcellus, so it could be anybody. You're right. I take that back. I'm sorry.
Ding, 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 ding. Break it up. Coming up, with Tom Brady joining the Bucs, the NFC South is stacked with quarterbacks. But I've actually got some bad news for him and the rest of the division. Find out what it is next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai.
Let's move to Tampa Bay, which is what Tom Brady just did, turning the Bucs into one of the NFL's most interesting teams and the NFC South into one of the most interesting divisions. In fact, CBS Sports just ranked the South as the best quarterback division in the league with Brady, Breeze, Bridgewater, and Ryan. But our guy Acho says that the NFC North, which CBS ranked fourth, actually has the best quarterbacks with Rodgers, Cousins, Stafford, and Nick Foles. Ugh. LeVar Arrington is back. Now, Acho, you need to explain yourself on this one.
Look, gentlemen.
Please.
I'm the youngest of four siblings, so, you know, I know how to pick a fight and instigate at times. And I was going through the rundown, and I said, wait a second. I'm not going with the low-hanging fruit like LeVar. I'm not going with the low-hanging fruit like Marcellus. I'm the kind of guy that's going to challenge some of these lazy opinions. So I like the NFC North having the better quarterbacks, but after I finish talking to y'all, you will too. Marcellus, I got a question for you.
Sir. Yeah.
Who would you like, Nick Foles or Teddy Bridgewater? Don't say nothing crazy, sir.
Teddy Bridgewater.
No, sir. Who has a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP?
Nick Foles is not for the long haul. Thank you. Go 16
and. So, Nick Foles. Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford, I look at that, and I'm like, they're equal. They're both big-time quarterbacks, big-arm quarterbacks, but at the end of the day, they're equal.
Matt Ryan won an MVP, though. Excuse me.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, gentlemen. If you gave Aaron Rodgers those weapons with the Bucs, I think he would fare better. Now, this is where it gets dicey. This is where it gets dicey, okay? Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees, it's dicey. I'm not going to say nothing. Because on paper, you're going to have to say, obviously, Acho, you're an idiot. It's Drew Brees. You're going to have to say that.
You said it.
But Kirk Cousins went to the playoffs, and he actually faced Drew Brees. And you want to know what happened?
He played the defense.
He actually outperformed Drew Brees because less completions, and he had more yards, and less attempts, and he had more yards, and he had a higher passer rating. And so when Kirk Cousins actually played Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins actually outperformed Drew Brees. So if Kirk Cousins beat Drew Brees most recently head-to-head, and if Nick Foles is better than Teddy Bridgewater, and if Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan are equal, then I think it explains itself, gentlemen. I think it does.
Acho.
Talk to me.
Not so macho with your Acho on that take
that
right
was,
there.
Woo.
My young brother, my young friend. Let me put this one on you.
Please.
As Marcellus so well put the other day, you even outdid him on being the youngest guy to get a co-hostmanship on a show, right?
Co-hostmanship.
Now, with that being stated, Marcellus, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that you're looking at the credibility and the body of work in which you're being judged as to why your young butt would get that opportunity to settle in on that seat, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You with that, Marcellus?
I'm with you.
You with
so
me
far.
On that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So when you think about bodies of work and how well you've done and proven that you can handle the opportunity that has been bestowed upon you, then you have to take a look at this one word. It's called trifecta, right? I call it the trifecta effect. Now, while you may use the argument that Kirk Cousins won against Mr. Brees head to head, while you may use the fact that Nick Foles, why you may say Nick Foles
please don't laugh
was
on
the
his name,
MVP and a Super Bowl champ.
Uh-huh.
Neither one of those guys are trifecta guys. You want to know what a trifecta guy
is? I've been waiting on you to define it.
I mean, get there. I mean,
please.
One Super Bowl, at least one Super Bowl appearance.
Okay.
At least you've done one Pro Bowl appearance.
Nick Foles
had
a Pro Bowl MVP, just by the way. Because you asked.
At least. Trifecta takes three. Is he an All Pro?
Keep going.
Okay. So when
yours.
I look at All-Pro, Pro Bowler, and Super Bowl, I see four guys on that list that are undeniable in their bodies of work, which would require them to have the respect of what it is that they are capable of doing. Aaron Rodgers. That is Drew Brees. That is Tom Brady. And that is Matt Ryan. Those are trifecta effect guys. You cannot put a guy like Nick Foles, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, and for darn sure, Mitchell Trubisky in the same conversation as these guys.
LeVar, here's the thing, LeVar. We met We met 2 weeks ago. We met two weeks ago, LeVar, you and I. And yes. Here's what I learned about you, because I watch you. I watch how you work.
Okay.
And you turned 42, or you got a birthday on Monday, maybe it was.
Yes, Tuesday.
Tuesday. And you kept the balloons up until, like, Thursday. Why? Because you're a guy that lives in the past.
You're a guy that lives in the past, okay? That is amazing.
Your birthday was over.
That's amazing.
For days, for hours, 24, 48 hours. And my IFB's coming out. I don't even need it.
You're a guy that lives in the past. What you've done right now is you're trying to live in the past.
You're like, wait, Tom Brady, he won 10,000 Super Bowls and 50,000 Pro Bowls.
Oh.
You're like, oh, Drew Brees, he's won 10,000 games in his career. Can you stop, LeVar, just for 1 second? Can you stop living in the past and address the present? And I can't even hear you.
Bodies of work don't matter?
LeVar, you made a fatal flaw in this argument.
Okay. This wasn't even an argument. But you made it close. Like, you really made it. Kind of like that versus between Nelly and Ludacris. I was like, ain't no way Nelly can compete. He made it close, because you got to play the right songs at the right time. Anyway, when you argue with fools, and he's no fool, but when you argue with fools from a distance, people can't tell who is who. You made the fatal flaw of really engaging this argument. This is what I'm going to do. I don't even have to make my case. I just highlight the fact that he doesn't have a case. That is different. No punches thrown. Just watch him punch himself out. Aaron Rodgers is good, but in decline. And he's been there for a few years. And he doesn't have the support of his organization. And they didn't give him any more weapons. So I don't know what the hell he's going to do this year. But less of Aaron Rodgers has been more for Green Bay, at least last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Stafford is good, but he's always hurt. And he was injured last year. So we got a guy that's in decline that's good, but we need less of you. We got a guy that was good, but you were hurt. So we can't even see if that was really who you are in full. Nick Foles is good in short little stints, little Energizer Bunny.
He's a professional backup.
And he's not even the starter yet. Like, I'm like that.
He's a professional backup.
We get
blasphemy.
We get Kirk Cousins, who defines what good is. Good, but not great enough. Just a picture of Kirk Cousins sitting there in the dictionary saying, I finally beat Drew Brees in a wild card game. And that's my claim to fame. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but no one has ever dared to say great. Now, let's look at the other division. Oh, my God. Drew Brees back at the barbecue. He's back at the barbecue on the grill, and we know who Drew Brees is. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Oh, and another
who needs
first.
Help by Taysom Hill right now? Just FYI. Just in case you were wondering.
My retirement papers are in, so get the next guy up. Hey, and then I got Tom Brady, who people want to say in decline, except he has weapons now, so we're going to see if that decline is real. Then you're talking about Matt Ryan, former MVP, and a guy that last year, a little roller coaster, but still put up numbers, and they started to win at the end of the season if you guys kept paying attention. And then Teddy Bridgewater, who was just undefeated as a starter last year, and is going to go to a new situation. If it doesn't work out in terms of weapons, you got C-Mac. Throw him the ball and let C-Mac run. He didn't have a case, LeVar. But you kind of gave him an opportunity and ammo to do so.
Marcellus, you are 100% correct in that. I am ashamed of myself that I even gave this young man the grounds that I did. You know what? I could continue to try to give actual facts and foundational knowledge on this, but I'm not. Like, Acho, if you want to come back and debate it and try to defend your honor on talking about low-hanging fruits and simple arguments and lazy approaches to preparation, you go right ahead, knock yourself out, because I'd rather spend my time during my segment right now deferring to you based upon Marcellus's reasoning, because I agree.
This is the thing. When you're on a show and you happen to be on the show with two elder statesmen, you oftentimes get stuck in the fact that they're stuck in the past. When you're on a show with elder statesmen, you end up having to talk about elder statesmen. Who else you want to throw on the list, LeVar? You want to throw Brett Favre on the list? Like, you want to go ahead and put him back on the list, too?
He's retired as well.
Like, is that what you want to do? Please, LeVar. Like, just throw in some other. Joe Namath. Like, throw in some other names. I'm talking about the present. Okay, I'm talking about, don't talk to me about weapons and what they have at their disposal. I'm talking about the quarterbacks themselves, not all the extra tools that these quarterbacks have.
Okay, guys, I got
to. If a tree falls in the forest with no one in the forest to hear it fall,
it makes sound. It makes a noise.
Does it make a sound?
Yes.
I don't know what sound it makes.
Matthew Stafford don't win no games, and not enough for people to hear the sound of the tree falling in the forest.
I am a city dude, a city boy, so I don't know about all this forest talk, but we're going to move on and talk about
another
sport.
Nick Foles is a professional backup. He's a professional backup.
Can you go to break, Marcelo?
Coming up, I have to go to break. I don't know what he on that birthday sauce. One of top college basketball recruits just turned his back on some major programs. We'll tell you why it's a good thing next.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's move to college basketball, where five-star recruit Makor Maker just sent shockwaves through the sport, committing to Howard University over top programs like UCLA, Kentucky, and Memphis. Maker took to Twitter to explain his decision, writing, quote, "I was the first to announce my visit to Howard, and others started to dream, what if? I need to make the HBC movement real so that others will follow. I hope I inspire guys like Mikey Williams to join me on the journey. I'm committing to Howard University and Coach Kenny Blakeney. Hashtag Maker Mob." Now, it's worth noting, Mikey Williams is another top recruit, just a sophomore in high school. We joined now by my guy, Flint Rent Bucher, NBA analyst. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah.
What is the significance in your mind of Maker choosing an HBCU?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it's huge for maybe different reasons than the masses. And I'll take you back to maybe high school, it seemed like. When you were getting recruited and everyone, back in those days, we used to collect our recruiting mail and our letters, and you just hoped that you were in the local, regional, national publication. And I remember that we used to get the big letters from the big schools, and it'd be a questionnaire. And I used to always say, why would a big school send me a questionnaire? Like, don't they already know about me? So I would lie on it like every other recruit. You know, I would say I was 2 tenths faster than I was. I was an inch taller, 20 pounds bigger. And I was like, I hope they buy this. And we used to have this conversation of small schools versus big schools. And I was like, why is everybody going to the same schools? Like, you're a four-star, you're a five-star, but you're stuck on the bench at USC playing football when you could have went to a mid-major or a smaller school and been the man. Then all of a sudden you look up Boise State, and you start looking up Texas Tech, and you're like, oh, it's happening. But another conversation was happening at the same time concurrently. It was the conversation of how come in basketball and football, which is predominantly black, nobody's going to black schools. And then you would hear some guys talk about the resources. They weren't on the same level, the coaching, the exposure. You would hear all these things. And we would all sit there by campfire, felt like, talking about it, but no one moving on that. I'm just glad that I'm now in a place, even though this is a still qualified moment because he's also in the NBA draft. He gets drafted. He doesn't show up on campus. But still, the first step, it seemed like someone finally said something that I always hold dear to my heart. To do something that lights the torch, not something that just carries the torch. And I like the fact that he is igniting something new.
So let me be clear. They weren't adding a couple inches and taking off a couple tenths in the program? Or were they doing that and then you were adding a few more inches and taking off a few more tenths?
A few more. You know me, Slick
okay,
Rick.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to know what the protocol was.
Yeah.
Look, it could be huge. But the reality is that as of right now, I don't want to say it means nothing, but it means close to nothing. And I'm going to put my Marcellus Wiley Columbia Lions helmet on and use an analogy here. You guys have you ever watched ants? Have you ever studied ants or watched them?
Oh, yeah.
They send out the scout ants. And they go in a lot of different directions.
And if a scout ant
finds something, then the other ants follow that. And now we got a train and we're bringing the goods back home.
Wow.
Maker right now is a scout ant.
I respect that.
Wow. I love the fact, and I can tell you, I already talked to some NBA GMs, black NBA GMs. They love what this potentially could mean for black colleges. But make no mistake, he is a trial test here. He is an NBA talent. People say he's raw. They don't know. He's not like a guaranteed NBA star. The big programs know how to do the one and done. They know how to create a brand. They have the competition for guys to play against to expand their profile. Maker not only has to go there and be successful, he has to be really successful, and then he has to go to the NBA as high or higher than he was projected. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of guys looking at this and saying, would love to support black colleges. But there's a reason that all these guys have been going to UCLA and Kentucky for all these years. And it's not because they don't care about their culture. It's because they're thinking about their future.
So, Greg, that was very profound. And I actually agree with most of what you just said. But I have to contradict the initial statement. I think it is a huge deal, McCormaker going to NHBCU. But here is why. Obviously, our nation is in the midst of its greatest turmoil for several reasons. A pandemic of the body and the coronavirus, and a pandemic of the mind and racism. But we have seen historically that sports can do more for a group of people than any individual can necessarily do outside of sports. Go back to Sam Bam Cunningham playing USC, playing Alabama, and what he did for the integration of football in the South for black people. Now I look at McCormaker. Right now, athletes across America, they're trying to figure out, what can I do to make change? What can I do to make a difference? You got some guys sitting out, boycotting their sports. You have other guys at campuses trying to remove statues. You have teams and organizations trying to paint Black Lives Matter on the court. You have other organizations playing the black national anthem before a game. But what's really going to make a change is trying to actually get your hands dirty, is trying to go to an HBCU and try to bring in an influx of TV revenue, bring in an influx of money onto that campus. Because the difference between football and basketball, one player can make a difference. I, selfishly, as a football player, I'll be honest, I never would have done it. Howard played Maryland last year, and they lost 79-0. I'm not trying to sit there and get smacked Saturday after Saturday.
Lord.
But McCormaker, if he goes out there and dominates, if he goes out there and brings in ticket revenue, brings in TV dollars, and starts a trend, like you said, as the scout ant, and brings in follow-up ants, I think there can be a ripple effect, because he can affect that university. That university can affect the city, affecting the state, and try to bring in an influx of money into a community and a people group that have clearly stated there are problems going on. So I think it is a huge deal for McCormaker to make that decision and take his talents to an HBCU, if in fact he does follow through and do that.
Ooh, well, a lot to say here. I'm closer to Slick Rick than I am to you,
please, big dog.
But I respect this. Let me say this. I did go to a small school. It felt like I made this choice. To me, the line items go academics first. I know that I'm in the minority, but academics first, athletics second, and then social networking, character development is third for me. That's how I look at my school choice. I like this one because he's doing it for his people. Here's one thing, though. If you fail, your people ain't going to save you.
That's facts.
That is true.
I'm going to tell you.
Because look, this is what they teach you in lifeguard school, my homeboy said. In lifeguard school, they say two people can't drown. What does that mean? Go out there and save that individual. If for whatever reason they're fighting you, the conditions, whatever, you retreat. Two people can't drown. And that's what's going to happen if he doesn't go out there and succeed. Slick Rick is right. I went to Columbia, I get to NFL, and the one thing I didn't know and I didn't figure that I was missing hit me right in the face my rookie year. I didn't have a fraternity. Like, the last person drafted from an HBCU was 2012. I look around that locker room, and they're looking at me like, yeah, who's your big brother? You don't have one. Nobody else in the Ivy League there. So I had to learn everything basically on my own. Talk about tremendous growing pains. That's not a deterrent. It's just to let him know the road ahead, and hopefully he succeeds.
That's definitely a fact. Go ahead, Slick.
There's a bigger threat, actually, to the major programs. It's called the G League.
Yeah.
We already have a couple of players. So it's not just the black universities that are trying to get in on this. The G League is as well, and they're offering money. And if I'm getting $1 million coming out of high school, I can certainly do a lot more with that for my community, potentially, than I might if I go to a black college.
Well, I hope Maker can make it work. Coming up, Cam Newton says the season is all about earning back some respect. We'll find out what Uncle Jimmy has to say about it next. Speak for yourself.
Welcome back. Let's talk some Cam Newton, just signed with the Patriots, explaining that the decision wasn't about money, it's about respect. Respect. We're joined now by Uncle Jimmy. Hey, you think Cam really needs to earn back some respect here?
Look, man, I'm going to put it to you like this, man. I owe Cam an apology, all right? All this time, man, I just thought Cam was some little self-centered, egotistical wannabe Instagram model.
Okay.
I thought this boy was dressing crazy and doing his hair like this just to be getting likes out here. Come to find out this boy got 7 kids. 7 kids is enough to make anybody go crazy. Hell, for 7 kids, hell, I'd go out and work for a Chico stick and a Red Bull if it got me damn kids.
That Chico stick better not be broken. You hated that. See y'all on Monday, America. Be safe.